Welcome up this morning, Dean Nelson, who is going to be sharing with us. He's a pastor of Yakima Covenant Church. So thank you for making the drive up here. We're excited to have you with us.
Thank you. Yeah. Thanks. I'm going to first call an audible. I'm going to see if Gary, would you be willing to read the scripture for this morning? The Mark passage. I don't know if that was planned. I would not plan to read that. It's good to be with you. And I thought just like to say it's maybe for reading the scripture, and then I'll share the message. Yeah, thanks.
Please stand for the reading of the scripture. Mark 1, 1 through 15. The beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It is written in Isaiah the prophet, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. And so John came, baptizing in the desert region and preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message. After me will come one more powerful than I, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. As Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, you are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased. At once the Spirit sent him out into the desert, and he was in the desert 40 days, being tempted by Satan. He was with the wild animals, and angels attended him. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. The word of the Lord.
You can go ahead and be seated. It's good to be with you this morning. Pastor Dean Nelson at Yakima Covenant Church. And one of the great reasons for my being here is a new relationship that's been built with Terry Glaspie. Kind of call it a pulpit exchange because he came to our church and shared, as it relates to many of you know, his passion for art. Let me just back it up just a bit to say that it's great to see, as you are without a pastor. I'm reminded of a book called by Eugene Peterson called The Unnecessary Pastor. And it's a great book. It really is. And it just is a reminder that sometimes we overstate our role as pastors. It's kind of written towards that, but more so an elevation of the role of the church in stepping in. I've heard of just the various preaching voices and that are within the life of this church and is taking place. And those are important voices. This is an important time in the life of your church as you are in that process. So blessings to you and the music and the worship that the church is alive and well. And just to express the connection that goes with Terry, about a year ago, I went on sabbatical. I've been at the Covenant Church, Yakima Covenant, for 7 years. And just, you know, you come through COVID, and COVID just took its hard hit on pastors, and I had worked it in, and my plans to coming there to the church early on, talked to them about it. So it just was fitting to be able to step away and to do some traveling to France and Italy and Kathy, my wife, and doing that as well. But as I went on sabbatical, there was a quote that came to mind that kind of set the tone by Phyllis Tickle. It is, the faith we Christians claim has been so dented and chipped and discolored by the centuries, so institutionalized and codified and doctrinalized. So written upon, there are a few Christians who still can discern the contours of the original. There are fewer still who know and can persuasively teach that Christianity was only and always just the container, the wrapping paper being used in shipment through the centuries of time. It is the Jesus beyond dent or chip or discoloring that is the beauty. And I went with that intention of seeking to understand or experience that sense of beauty. A great place to go, but France and Italy, and I have a love for art, and that was what makes a connection to Terry. I was in the airport in Seattle as we were ready to fly off to Amsterdam, looking forward to going to a museum there, Rijk Museum. And I'm reading a book called Discovering God Through the Arts, How Can We Grow Closer to God by Appreciating Beauty and Creativity. And I am resonating with the author of this book, and I'm thinking about the book, and I take a picture of the book, and I send it to our associate superintendent, Dawn Taloyo, and I say, wow, this book is preparing me for a wonderful sabbatical. And she texts back, did you know he goes to a covenant church? I had no clue, but I put it in the back of my mind, like, if he's anywhere near Yakima, I'm going to put out the invitation. So it was soon after that. But it helped me prepare me for the beauty. And this morning, it is that invitation. I invite you to the beauty of Christ. I invite you to bring alive the wonder of that is all too easily lost. Been married for quite a few years, and in that process, it's that sense of appreciating the beauty and the wonder of the one to whom I'm married to. And it is easy to lose that. Or for many of you, as it relates to Christ, when was it that first love took place? When was that first igniting of that passion that you had for Christ that hit your life? Karl Barth and Henry Nouwen, two great theologians, spiritual writers, and both of them expressed that the greatest Christian painting they've ever seen, you knew it was going to include some painting, I couldn't help but come here, and Matthias Grunewald painted what is called the Eisenheim altarpiece, a rendition of Christ on the cross. We put up the picture of it. It's hard to grasp, but it's a cryptic painting that's there, and it is incredible. They both expressed this is the greatest of paintings. Pablo Picasso took inspiration by it, creating an entire series, pen and ink composition, and riffed on the crucifixion. I was able to visit the painting. There's actually a couple authors and people that tried to hide out in, it's not in the monastery at this point, but they tried to hide out so they could spend time overnight there, but were found out and not able to stay there. It is very moving. The work is excruciating. It details the flayed, tortured, dead body of Christ that hangs limp on the cross. You can go to the next picture. The body is covered with sores. That's one of the things you'll see on there, plague-like sores. It was showing patients that were entering the hospice monastery in France that Jesus understood and shared their affliction. The artwork was unusual for its time at that place. The monks at the monastery cared for peasants and for social outcasts who were suffering from a disease affected their skin, a condition maybe once known as St. Anthony's Fire. We phrase that is sometimes used and expressed. And today, it's recognized as a poisoning fungus known as ergot, eating away from eating bread that from rye bread that the rye had gone spoiled. The monks at the Eisenheim provided palliative care for those workers or for the patients. So Grunewald painted for St. Anthony's Monastery in Colmar and specialized in the hospital work. On either side, though, one of the things that hit home to me, you can show the next painting piece there. You can see the detail of this painting that the people would identify as they came into this monastery with their own pain. And it was not, progress was not going to be good. I was able to visit this painting twice, and it was the start of really bringing back a love and a passion for Christ and reminding for me. But what hit home to me was the next one. On either side, there is Mary, the mother of Christ, and John the Baptist. The one that interested me most, surprisingly, was this one of John the Baptist. Somewhat sassy looking, golden script that is above is the Baptist head. He says, "He must increase, but I must decrease." Obvious nod to the viewer, the one who was seeing it, that it was Christ that would be carrying their pain and love them deeply. And there was the one who conquered death. John the Baptist, of course, is not present at Jesus' crucifixion. It wasn't intended to be a time frame aspect, but yet stands there holding an open Bible, pointing his long, and that's the amazing thing, his long, bony finger towards Christ on the cross. The picture brings alive, I think, the text that we have this morning in a real way, the role of John the Baptist, both then and now. For me, not only is a deeply Christian painting, but moving experience that spoke of the task of preaching. John the Baptist was a model for all Christian preachers of the importance of preachers that are at our best when we point towards Christ. When we're pointing towards Christ, when we give witness to the beauty of Christ, when we give witness to who he is and what he's done, when we point away from ourselves and we're pointing towards Jesus. And John the Baptist is a great model. A sermon is merely that long, bony finger is what came to me as I looked at this and interpreted for myself. John is pointing away from the preacher towards the beauty of the crucified Christ. At the core of Christianity, it is a relationship with Jesus. It's a relationship with Christ, and I want to invite you to experience Christ. You may be here seeking some spiritual encounter, maybe going through the motions, or tired of those who call themselves Orthodox, Bible-believing defenders of the faith. I've been in the God business 38 years, and never have I seen, personally experienced, such angst over what it means to be associated with Jesus of Nazareth. If my fascination with Jesus started today, I'd rather many years ago, I wonder what I would do with it. How would I pursue faith in the midst of our culture and what I see going on? I can tell you what put off my skeptical, questioning friends. They've been repelled by a sense of a witch's brew of politics and cultural conflict and moralism, a sense of religious meanness that those who call themselves special friends of Jesus. That's what triggers it for me, that Phyllis Tickle is at the core is Christ. And beneath all that talk about moral values and high principles, they can't get away from the hissing sound they hear amongst Christians. And it is to the beauty of Christ that I want to point you today. At the core of authentic faith, Christianity at its origin is experiencing the presence of Christ. The Gospel of Mark begins with our preacher, John the Baptist, preaching to us from the first verse of the first chapter of what most people believe was the first gospel, and it says the beginning of the good news about Jesus Christ, God's Son. Mark allows John the Baptist to be right up front with the good news. Get washed up. Prepare yourselves. There's one coming that's stronger than I am. He's coming, and I'm not even worthy to bend over and loosen his strips on his sandals. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Mark doesn't say, this is an introduction to the philosophy taught by Jesus Christ. Or this is an elucidation of some basic principles of Jesus Christ. Mark says, this is the good news. Jesus Christ has arrived. Mark doesn't say, I'm some good news for you that if you will carefully listen to this and try hard to put the precepts into practice, you will improve your life. Mark says, good news. He's here. God is with us. And some today, there's a false message that all roads lead to God. Whether Muslim, Hindu, and the key is believing. There are huge differences. It's said by Muslims that Muhammad cared enough about humanity to leave a book that contains the truth. In another gospel, Jesus does not say, I came in order to dictate a great book, or I've come to tell some truth. Rather, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus didn't just bring us beautiful words about God or share great insights. Mark says, Jesus is none other than God's Son, God with us. What do you and I need to do to get ready to receive him? Nothing. We allow ourselves to be baptized, be washed, repent, and turn in. A Christian is someone, somebody who's turned around and turned and looking away from themselves, mostly ourselves, and turning around and spending our life gazing at Christ. John the Baptist, with his long bony fingers pointing to Christ and saying, I am here calling you to turn again to Jesus, turn your gaze to Christ. A Christian is somebody who worships Christ, who places his gaze on Christ. And worship is turning away from our obsession of ourselves. How am I doing? How do I look? It is putting our gaze towards Christ. That's what we're doing in worship this morning. It's being responsive and reflective. And when God shows up in our worship, we step back in sense of awe and wonder of who he is. John the Baptist says, in effect, our prayers are answered. God at last has shown up. He's become present to us. Christianity is not some new useful philosophy of life. Christianity is not a faith, some knockoff surefire principles to make life better. Christian faith is faith in Jesus. And we worship him because of who he is. God refused to be relegated to abstraction or just a memory. But he is present to us in himself. And so I don't believe you come here on a Sunday morning to hear some elucidations about a few good ideas. You come to encounter Christ. And so even in the world of Christianity can be reduced to biblical knowledge or principles to live a better life. You come here looking for an encounter with Christ and meeting him. You need to know God is for us. And John the Baptist says that's what we get in Jesus. He's here tangibly with us. So this morning, I encourage you to think back to that moment in which that first encounter you had with Jesus. Think back to that time in which you had experienced the wonder of Christ. It's easy to forget that. God's calling us back to himself, the wonder of his beauty. And remember when you were a child and you stood outside and you were gazing up at the skies and you had a sense of wonder of the beauty of this sense of creation? The danger for all of us is, as we get older as adults, to, with education, to start to do the scientific study of it, and it's a matter of, well, it's the gases that flow, and it causes this to happen, and you lose the wonder. Or think back to that time in which you maybe were experienced at a camp, summer church camp. You sang Kumbaya. Some of you may not know that song, but it was a song that meant come by here. And you knew upon knowing that it was Christ that was speaking to you, and you made either a decision for Christ or that God was just really present to you. But now, as you get older, years away from that experience, you could be looking at your watch thinking, come on, preacher, let's start winding things down. Well, I want to invite you to worship, to relive, to reignite, to rekindle that first love that you had with Christ. And this is the invitation given to you by God. And I think it's our deepest cry and our need, and it's for you. The grace of Christ that's for you. Choose well. Don't settle for a knockoff. Choose Christ. So this morning, you may think you have to have your act together before you can enter into that experience, but Christ, in whatever situation, invites us anew to experience the wonder of Him and to spend our lives in worshiping Christ at the wonder of this first love that Christ offers to us. Let's turn our gaze to Jesus, who's at the center and the magnet that draws us to Himself. Let's bow in prayer. God, this morning we give you thanks for John the Baptist, who pointed to you and points us to you. This morning we give you thanks for those encounters that we have with you. And like the first hymn that we sang, God, we recognize that we're prone to wander, prone to leave the God we love. Lord, we renew our gaze towards you, and we give you thanks and praise. In Jesus' name, amen.